Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records number 1290, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone, and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this week's show, we'll celebrate the birthdays of Arnie Hulfers, Maynard Baird, Max Dreyfus, and Linus Yale. And we'll take a musical trip down home. Last week, April 4th, marked the birth in 1904 in Trollhättan, Sweden, of jazz pianist and bandleader Arne Gunnar Walter Hulfers. He played in dance bands around Sweden until forming his own ensemble in 1934. Which became one of Sweden's most famous big bands, touring Europe and recording until 1940, when Hulfers became an actor, appearing in several Swedish feature films. He died July 24, 1978, in Stockholm. I played Hulfers' version of St. Louis Blues back in September of 2024, but here are three more from Arne Hulfers. Thank you. You gotta love any train-inspired tunes. And there's a nice big band musical representation of a train by Arne Hallfors Orchestra, Im Nordexpress, recorded in Berlin November 30th, 1938, issued on Odeon 031451. Before that, a more familiar tune, It's June in January, written by Ralph Ranger. That's on the Dixie, D-I-X-I, label, number 132A, recorded March 8, 1935. Dixie records were introduced in 1932 by the Swedish department store chain of Allen & Holm. The discs were about 8 inches in diameter until 1934, when they grew to 10 inches with the name changed to Silverton. The last Silverton issue was in 1944. We started our little tribute to Arne Hallfors with Platsregeln, written by Miff Gorling, trombonist in the band. Gorling's name was actually Uno, but he took his nickname from trombonist Miff Mull. Platsregeln translates to Rain on the Square, and was recorded April 24, 1936, issued on Odeon 031234. I'm Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, April 3rd, marked the birth in 1894 in Clarksville, Tennessee, of Maynard Kelsey Baird to Beauregard General Baird, a timber cutter, and Roberta Julia Chance, better known as Bobby. Baird moved to Knoxville in 1915, and in 1917 was working as a vaudeville musician and motion picture projectionist at the Queen's Theater. He formed his territory band, the Southland Serenaders, in 1921, playing at local dances and occasionally in other cities in the Midwest. In the mid-20s, the band was also heard over WNOX and WSM. A multi-instrumentalist, Baird advertised the band as 10 musicians, 30 instruments. He was primarily a banjo player and tried to invent new instruments such as the Bairdola, a fiddle-type instrument played with a bow. Baird disbanded around 1930 and turned his attention to the labor movement, becoming a union rep for the American Federation of Musicians Union, Local 546, and the Movie Operators Union, Local 405. Baird retired in 1961 and died of throat cancer in Fort Sanders Hospital in Knoxville on September 25, 1965. He's buried at Leech Cemetery in Rocky Top, Tennessee. Here are three from Maynard Baird.
Just for you. I'm pining because you've gone away. I hope that you're coming back someday. My love is just for you. Nobody else will do. I'm mighty lonesome too. Just for you, hurry back, do.
Thank you.
Maynard Baird and his orchestra with Postage Stomp, written by Vivian Vic Johnston, pianist in the band, and Sam Goebel, trumpeter. That's from Vocalion 1516, recorded by Brunswick during the Knoxville sessions on April 7, 1930. Before that, the flip side of Postage Stomp, vocalist Fred Myers with I Can't Stop Loving You, written by Baird and Knoxville songwriter Burt Hodgson. Baird's first recording session for Brunswick took place on August 28th and 31st, 1929, in the studios of WNOX in the St. James Hotel in Knoxville. They made four sides, and an article in the Knoxville News Sentinel announced that the two discs would be released on October 15th. As it turns out, two of the sides were rejected, and only Vocalion 15834, with Sorry and Just For You, was issued. We started a little tribute to Maynard Baird with Just For You, another Baird-Hodgson collaboration, recorded August 31st, 1929. Last week, April 1st, marked the birth in Kuppenheim, Germany, of music publisher, arranger, and songwriter Max Dreyfus. He emigrated to the U.S. in 1889 at age 14, and worked as a traveling salesman selling picture frames. By the mid-1890s, however, he was working on Tin Pan Alley and became an arranger and song plugger for T.B. Harms. In 1901, his song Cupid's Garden was published under the pseudonym Max Eugene. Max and his brother Louis bought the Harms firm in 1904 and with partner Jerome Kern became very successful. In 1926, the brothers bought the British publishing firm of Chappell and Company, as well as a number of other publishing firms. In 1929, Dreyfus and his wife Victoria Brill bought the 300-acre Madry Farm near Brewster, New York, where the couple raised horses and cattle and entertained prominent musicians. Dreyfus died at Madry Farm in 1964. Fun fact, Julia Louis Dreyfus, who played Elaine on Seinfeld, is related to Max and Louis through her father, Gerard Louis Dreyfus. Here are three from the pen of Max Dreyfus as Max C. Eugene. Thank you. Arthur Pryor's band with A Southern Belle from Victor 2825, recorded April 22, 1904. Before that, another from Arthur Pryor's band, In Roseland, from 12-inch Victor 31404, waxed May 5, 1905. Max Dreyfus wrote and published under the name Max Eugene in recognition of Eugene Lesser, a violinist who had befriended Dreyfus while he was starting out his career on Tin Pan Alley. We started a little tribute to Max Dreyfus with his first successful tune, Cupid's Garden, performed on Bells by William H. Reitz. Victor 18018 was recorded September 8, 1914. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. Last week, April 4th, marked the birth in Salisbury, New York, of Linus Yale Jr. So, what's his claim to fame? Well, I'll tell you in the back announce, but the following rapidly rotating records may give you a clue.
Who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole the lock on the
henhouse door? I'm gonna find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the henhouse door?
Now, who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole the lock on the
henhouse door? I'm going to find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the henhouse door?
My old friend was condemned to mount. He stole down to the chicken house. He took all the chickens that were inside. And then he said to me, my friend, good night. Now, who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole the lock on
the henhouse door? I'm going to find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the henhouse door?
Now, who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole the lock
on the henhouse door? I'm going to find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the henhouse door?
Down to the henhouse on my knees, I thought I heard chickens sing. Nothing but the rooster saying his prayers, sending his love to the hens upstairs. Now, who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole door, the knock on the hen house door. I'm going to find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the hen house door? Now who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
I'm going to find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
As I was going across 48 feet, a rattlesnake bit me on the knee. I turned right around, but to do my best, my left foot stuck in a hornet's nest. Now who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
I'm going to find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
Now who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
I'm going to find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
Rooster and the hen went way out west. Said the hen to the rooster, I love you best. The rooster said, you were telling a lie. I seen you flirting with big Shanghai. Now who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
I'm gonna find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
Now who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
I'm gonna find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
I know a man named Dr. Beck. Fell in the well and broke his neck. Served him right for your husband's home. Attending to the sick and left the well alone. Now who stole the lock?
I don't know.
Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
I'm gonna find out before I go. Who stole the lock on the hen house door?
Thank you.
We started the set with Bryant's Jubilee Quartet, recording as the famous Garland Jubilee Singers, asking the musical question, Who Stole De Luck? From Conqueror 78, number 7749, recorded March 19, 1931. Next were the Allen Brothers, Austin and Lee, with Padlock Key Blues, recorded October 5, 1934, but unissued. And we just heard Roger Wolf Kahn and his orchestra with The Tap Tap, composed by Jesse Greer. That's from Victor 20827, recorded July 14, 1927. So, what's Linus Yale's claim to fame? Well, he was the founder of the Yale Lock Company and inventor of the Yale Magic Infallible Bank Lock. That explains playing Who Stole De Luck and Padlock Key Blues, but what does the Tap Tap have to do with locks? Well, it's heard in the two-act musical review, Padlocks of 1927, which opened at the Schubert Theater on July 5, 1927, and ran for 95 performances. Back on the February 8, 2009 show, in a segment celebrating Wilbur Sweatman's birthday, I mentioned that he wrote Down Home Rag, but I didn't play Sweatman's version of Down Home Rag on that show, or since, although I did play the Victor Military Band's recording in 2006. Anyway, here is Wilbur Sweatman to take us down home. Thank you.
a shoe. He broke my heart, for I loved him true. So now I'm worried, I feel so lonesome and blue. I've got the blues on my mind, and I just feel like crying all the time. Woke up this morning, the day was dawning, and I was feeling all sad and blue. I had nobody to tell my troubles to. Worried, I didn't know what to do.
Teddy Grace singing the Down Home Blues, written by Tom Delaney. English Brunswick 78, number 0219-A, was recorded May 9, 1939. And you'll remember from her birthday segment back in 2019 that Teddy Grace was born Stella Maple in Arcadia, Louisiana, in 1910. And just in case you missed that show, or you're a newer listener to the show, you can hear Teddy Grace's birthday segment and every single one of our shows in the archives at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. Before Teddy Grace, we heard Clarence Williams and his orchestra with Way Down Home, written by Williams and Edgar Dowell. It's described on the label of Vocalion 2778-B, recorded November 10, 1933, as a novelty dance. We started this down-home segment with Wilbur Sweatman and a clarinet solo, accompanied by the Emerson String Trio of his composition, Down Home Rag, issued in June of 1917 on 7-inch Emerson 7161. Sweatman also recorded it around the same time, perhaps in the same session, issued on Emerson 5163. A 5 3/4-inch diameter 78. Both records have a patriotic red, white, and blue label with stars and the Statue of Liberty, as well as Victor H. Emerson's signature. Victor Hugo Emerson was the chief recording engineer at Columbia Records, but left in 1914 to form the Emerson Phonograph Company and Emerson Records. And we have time for one more. Listeners of a certain age, that is around my age, here in the U.S., will remember the television series Dennis the Menace, starring Jay North. I'm sad to say Jay North passed away today, April 6th, at age 73. There is a detailed and interesting biography of Jay North on Wikipedia, pointing out that he didn't have the happiest of childhoods, and that his acting career went well beyond Dennis the Menace. But here, we're going to honor Jay North with a record by Harry Roy, titled Dennis the Menace from Venice.
Away Venice, there lives a young man who drives every pretty girl crazy. He's got more technique than the best movie chic, but believe me, this fellow's not lazy. At 9 in the evening, he starts with a blonde. By 10, he has got the brunette. At midnight, you'll see him with some ginger girl. He teaches them all how to pet. Why, it's Dennis the Menace from Venice. A gay gondolier with gold rings in his ear. He will sing you a song as he pushes along his gondola. Dennis the Menace from Venice. Each pretty young gal on that old Grand Canal walks around with a grin when she's been riding in his gondola. When he sings Soli Mio, it sounds like a trio, though he's only one little guy. The wives all adore him, the husbands go for him. He's had more than one big black eye. Why, it's Dennis the Menace from Venice. His friends laugh, ha-ha, cause he can't drive a car. But this guy's not so dumb, cause they can't walk back from his gondola. We now present our opera, A Drunk in Venice or the Venetian Blind.
I'm Dennis.
You're Dennis.
He's Dennis.
The merchant of Venice.
All Venetian girls fall for the men.
All the men.
For the menace of Venice, that's Dennis.
Dennis. Oh, that's Dennis.
It is?
That's Dennis.
Quite right. The Dennis, the menace.
As we said before.
And we say it again and again and again.
That it's Dennis, the menace from Venice.
The Venice.
From Dennis.
The menace? Oh, stop it. Who is this darn fellow anyway?
Why? Dennis, the menace from Venice. Ha ha! He's Dennis, the menace from Venice. Ha ha!
Harry Roy and his Mayfair Hotel Orchestra with Dennis the Menace from Venice, from Parlophone F-281, recorded in London, October 8, 1935. The vocal trio was Harry Roy, Bill Curry, and Ivor Morton. Dennis the Menace from Venice was written by Eddie Pola for the British comedy duo Walsh and Barker, and they sing it in a 1935 British Pathé short film. It may have been the inspiration for not one, but two unrelated comic strips, one in Britain and the other here in the U.S., both titled Dennis the Menace, and both first published within days of each other in March of 1951. And the American TV series Dennis the Menace, starring Jay North, was inspired by Hank Ketcham's comic strip. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour with me listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. If you had half as much fun as I did, then I had twice as much fun as you. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.